with us. Our auditorium does not always look like this, but it does this week and will. Hope you'll make your plans to be with us tonight starting at 5:15 as we go through our Vacation Bible School. Let me just mention, just very quick, that Gina's already given me a series of announcements she wanted me to make. I'm going to go through those real quick. But if you are not aware and you have not been here for a while, this Vacation Bible School, as they have been now for a few years, is the dream or the imagination of Gina O'Claire and Karen Smith. And it comes together through their hard work and the hard work of Jason Smith. And they have been here working for some time, planning things out, getting things together, and then they've been helped by a host of other people. You'll see a skit tonight that was written by Dee Sandlin and Janie Slaughter. They usually write those. I think this year's is one of the better ones. It seems to fit with what we're wanting the kids to learn and to grasp from this Vacation Bible School, and I think you'll all enjoy it. Alicia Fry is directing the skit in the auditorium, and so she's been working us very hard and getting things ready for that. And Courtney Pfeiffer is directing the skits that will be done in the classes. And a lot of people have done a lot of work, and there's some more work that needs to be done. And if you're feeling guilty now that you just haven't been here and not been able to help, you can make amends today. And so we've got some things that need some help. But if you've been working, you know how much fun it is and the joy of being able to be together. And we still have some things to do. It's not too late to register for Vacation Bible School. You can still do that today. And we'll start tonight at 5:15. And after the Vacation Bible School is over tonight, we'll have a potluck together in the Family Life Center. So make sure you bring a dish tonight for that potluck. And sometime this morning, and they will take help whenever you can offer it, but we need to set the gym up. And so sometime between this worship and Bible class, or after Bible class, or after worship, if you could go down to the gym and help with the setting up of the gym and the craft rooms, that would be greatly appreciated. If you have children that are in the elementary school area, the buildings upstairs behind me, you need to be aware that those children will be going to their regular classes during Bible hour in order to take attendance. And then from there, they're going to be taken by their teachers to the gym area. And that's where you will pick them up after classes are over. You'll pick them up in the gym area this morning. Teens and workers, your t-shirts are in the adult library, and you can pick those up either before Bible class or after Bible class. And that takes care of all the announcements that I think that Gina wanted me to make sure that I made. But if you see Gina and Karen, tell them thank you, give them a hug, and tell them how much we appreciate all that they do and all of those that have worked so hard for our Vacation Bible School. So, what's the point? Why are we doing this? Why do we go through all of this? Why do we have our Bible classes? Why do we do all the things that we do? What's the point? Well, the point doesn't change. The point is the same. The point is the same as being a Christian. So let's take a look and define the terms. What do we mean when we ask the question, what's the point? Well, it depends on if you're being positive or negative. It depends on your frame of mind, where you're coming from, and what you mean by the question. So if you ask the question, what's the point, sometimes you might mean, what's the use? That's the negative. What's the use of doing all this? Does it really benefit anything? But that's not the idea that we're asking this morning with the question, what's the point? Instead of the negative, what's the use, what we're asking is, what's the main point? What are we after? What's the goal? What are we striving for? What's our objective in doing all of this? And having our Bible classes and our worship together, in being a Christian and in raising our families to be Christian, what's the goal? What's the objective? And Paul tells us. Have your Bibles ready. We're not going to read the verses, but you can look them over. Whatever the point is, and Paul is going to get to that real quick in chapter 1. Matter of fact, it was part of our reading. But whatever the point is, it cannot be separated from these points that he makes in these early verses. And whatever the point is, it cannot be accomplished without doing these things that are in the first part of Colossians chapter 1. And here they are. Verse 9, Paul's prayer for them is that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Well, you can't do that without reading the Bible. You can't do that without coming to know the Bible and coming to understand the Word of God. And you cannot reach the purpose, reach the goal, be what God intended without being filled with the knowledge of His will. Paul knows that, and he knows where he's going at the end of chapter 1. And he is filling in what is necessary as he gets them to the point that he's striving for everybody to reach. In verse 10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You can't do that. You can't make the point unless this is what you're doing. Walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. Being strengthened by God's word, being strengthened by God's purpose to obtain steadfastness and patience. In other words, being strengthened by God's word where you get it. You get what's out there for you. And you make up your mind, I will never move away from this. I will never stop making this the focus of my life. And I will never allow anything to move me away from what God wants me to do. And I will never allow anything to come between me and doing what God would have me to do. That is what Paul is talking about when he says you need to be strengthened by coming to know God's word and knowing God's will and knowing God's promises. You need to be strengthened to the point that you obtain steadfastness. Patience. I will never stop. I will never be moved. I will never diminish. I will keep growing more and more like Him, but I will never shrink back. And then, verse 12, joyously giving thanks to the Father because of what we have, because of what He's done for us, because of all that He is doing for us. Those are the things that are absolutely essential if we're going to reach the goal. If we're going to reach the point, what we're after, and what it's about. So what's the point? He describes the point in verses 24 through verse 27 when he says this. The riches of the glory of God's mystery, now made known by the preaching of the gospel, is. Well, hold on a second. But look at this. All the mystery of God's mind that He planned for us before the world was ever created. All the mystery of God's promise of what He wants to give to us when this life, this trial period is over. All of that is made known by the preaching of the message of Jesus Christ. All of that is made known by coming to understand the Word of God and the will of God. And so the riches of God's glory, this mystery, made known now by the preaching of the gospel, is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So this person that I'm coming to know is what I'm to become like. So this person that I'm coming to understand and believe His words and believe His promises is the one I'm to strive to be like. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says it again. We proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man, teaching every man, that's every human being, with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. Presenting every man complete in Christ Jesus is what exactly the point is. Become like Jesus. Because in becoming like Jesus, in him being in us, and us being in him, we're accepted by God. Otherwise, we are not accepted by God. But being like Christ, we are accepted by God. We belong to God, and all the promises that God has for us are ours because of him. Now, before I go into this next section, I don't want it to be negative, but I want us to think about something. That's the point of our Vacation Bible School. Everything that's going to be said tonight and all this week are going to be about helping our children learn more about Jesus and learn more about what it means to be like Jesus. That's the purpose of every single one of the skits that we'll do before class. It's the purpose of every one of the skits that will be done during Bible class. It's the purpose of every lesson that's going to be taught. Everything that's going to be done is for that purpose, to reach this point where we help our children learn and understand what it means to be like Jesus. Is that important to you? How important is it that you get help in raising your children to be what Christ would have them to be? How important is it to you that you get help from others, get strength from others, and encouragement from others, and learning things from others to be able to become more like Christ, to be able to achieve the goal of living with God forever and forever? Let me tell you the problem. Jane, my wife, is the coordinator for the first grade classes, Sunday morning, Sunday night. She also teaches on occasion on the Wednesday night classes. The ones who's teaching now says, this past Wednesday night in first grade, we had one student. Now, I don't know the total number of first graders we have. There'll probably be more than that on Sunday morning. But on Wednesday night, we had one. In the last quarter, when Jane was teaching it, there would be two or three. We have more first graders than that. But it's not just a problem with first grade. It's a problem all over. It's a problem with our Bible classes. We don't get the point. We don't see the point. And to me, the question I would have, and the question I had when we were raising our children, I didn't have it so much when I was being raised, because when I was being raised, a lot of times I said, what's the point? Meaning, what's the use? But then I began to see the benefit. But then when I had children, I definitely saw the benefit. And I wanted that help. And as I have aged and now my grandchildren are there, I realize that if they're not getting it from home and they're not getting it from church, where are they getting it? Where are they getting any help to understand the point of life and to understand what life is all about and to understand the importance of Jesus Christ and coming to know him? So why is it that so many times we miss the point? And we miss the point and the importance of it in striving to be like Jesus. Because there's so many of us that make these mistakes. I'm going to put this list up, then I'm going to come back and tell you about them. But let me say this little caveat beforehand. It's what I was going to say at the end, but I'll say it now too. Every single thing I'm about to mention, all of us do. Every single one of them. But there are a lot of people who worship God, a lot of people who are worshiping God today, all of us included, give themselves to immorality and to greed. rather than to Jesus. They give themselves to blow up in anger whenever things don't go the way that they would like for them to go. They will destroy another person's reputation. They'll do that in what they say about them. They'll do that in making sure that you don't like them as much as you like me, or making sure they can point out the reason why you don't need to think so highly of them. They try to destroy people's reputation. They will lie. They refuse to forgive. They fail to love their spouse. They disobey their parents. They treat others unfairly. There's not a single one of us in here who has not done that. There's not a single one of us in here that could not go down that list and say, okay, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of every single one of those things. Well, what's the difference? The difference is in the one who's striving to become like Christ. We have shame when we do these things. We have guilt when we do these things. We acknowledge that we've done these things and they were wrong, and we apologize for them, and we ask God to forgive us, and we strive to do better. And we still make mistakes. But every time we do, we know where we want to be, and we know that by doing these things, we are not there. And we ask God to forgive us. We ask God to help us to become better. And the great thing about God and Christ is that's what He's looking for in us. For us to realize that we are not what we ought to be. And we are striving to change, and we're striving to become like Him, and we're striving to become different. Instead of justifying ourselves and ignoring what Christ would have us to do and giving ourselves to these things, we struggle with them. We try to put them off. We try to be what God would have us to be. But the question is, why is it that so many people who will worship God will continue in these things without any idea of trying to change? Why do they keep coming and keep worshiping God, keep being a part of the body of Christ, and continue to do these things without any attempt to change? Why do they do that? Here's why. They miss the point. The point is striving to become like Jesus. They miss the whole point. They think religion and Christianity and being a part of the church is this. Well, it's what our family's always done. It's what we do as a nation. Well, it's what we used to do as a nation. It used to be a national tradition, and it still is in some places. But it was the family tradition. I remember hearing a song while I was driving back from Nebraska, where you go to church because your mama wants you to. No, that's not why you go. That might be a good reason to start, but that's not why you go. There's another purpose. There's another goal. It's to become like Christ. But some people will do all of this because, well, my family always has, and I want that tradition to be in my children. And then there's others who look at this as a social club. It's a place where I meet my friends. It's a place where my friends are. And that's great. That's the way it ought to be. This is far more than a social club. It's far more than a club just to be able to talk to each other and to be associated with each other. Some do it because they think the church is a benevolent society. This is a place where they help you. This is a place where they give you food. This is a place where they do things for you. This is a place where they'll help you out if you're in need. Well, we try to do that. But for some people, they miss the whole point. And that's the way they look at what the church is all about. Some, and probably more than we realize, are treating the church as the pagans would treat their idols, are treating the church as the pagans do. And here's how that would pan out. I go to church so good things will happen to me. I go to church because if I don't, bad things are going to happen. And so I go to church to ward off the evil spirits, so that no bad thing happens to me in life. I go to church so that I won't be lost. It's not becoming like Christ. It's not striving to know Him and to have Him in me and me be in Him. It's just, well, this is what I got to do so I won't be lost. And so often people will ask the question, well, tell me, exactly what do I have to do to keep from being lost? How many services a week do I need to attend so that I won't be lost? How often do I need to take the Lord's Supper so that I won't be lost? And we miss the whole point. We miss the whole point of what this is about. And we treat the Word of God, we treat the church, we treat Christianity as if it's a good luck charm. So what's your point? What's my point? What's your goal? What are you here for? What are you doing here? Will you be here tonight? If so, why will you be here tonight? I hope it's the goal. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ, to become like him. And I can't become like him if I don't keep learning about him and striving to live for him. So as we do every time, are you in Christ? Are you a Christian? If you've been baptized into Christ, do you belong to him? Are you ready to become a Christian? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.